The founder of Bob Jones University said,
"The two biggest words in the English language are the two little words, do right."
The internationally known evangelist, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., during his earthly ministry, was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message we bring you now illustrates one of the principles on which he founded Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.
My friends, this is one of a series of 52 messages which I'm bringing to you who listen in from week by week. You know, we're trying to put in these 52 messages a practical Christian philosophy which we've gathered up along the way of life. This Christian philosophy we've tried to drill into the great crowds that we've had the pleasure of preaching to in many places and on many occasions. It's a kind of Christian philosophy that's been drilled into all the students who attended Bob Jones University. We try year by year to drill into these students something that'll last, something that'll help them. Something beyond books. You know, it's a strange thing how some people feel about education. They think just to go to school and learn science and math and history, a language of some kind, that's education. That isn't education. It's a type of education, but it's not education that makes for success. If you do not build your life on the sound, fundamental Christian principles, you'll never be a really educated man. Oh, you may go into a schoolroom and teach school, and you may work in a scientific laboratory, but you're not a trained man unless you're trained along moral lines and spiritual lines. So we tell our students in Bob Jones University, we say, now, when you come where the road parts, one road goes one way and one the other, and there you stand. Now, this is a mighty easy-looking road, you say to yourself. It isn't hard. It's so smooth and such a nice, attractive-looking road. I'd have a good time going that way. And then you look down the other road, you say, but this is the right road. It's not a smooth road. It's not an easy road to travel. But it is the right road. And we tell our students, when they come with their old parts, don't ask which is the easy way. Don't ask which is a smooth road. Don't ask which is a road of luxury or pleasure. Just ask which is the right road. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if everybody in it would make up his mind, well, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to do right. When I come to an issue, I'm just going to decide what's right and do right. Would that be wonderful? How few of us make our decisions that way? How most of us, you know, we try to pull what we want over on the side of right or right over on the side of what we want. It's so easy to sell ourselves sometimes because we want to do it and justify ourselves. And we build up a great defense for doing what we felt like we'd like to do instead of building up a defense for doing the thing we ought to do. You know, I want to see some politicians in America, great politicians sometimes. They'll stand up and say, gentlemen, this is right. I'm going to do right if you send me to Washington. I'm going to do right if you make me governor. I'm going to do the things right. I'm not going to be a little cheap politician, a time-serving kind of politician. I'm going to make up my mind with all the advice and help I can get. And when I reach a point where I've got to decide, I'm going to decide what's right and do it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You hear people say, now, well, you know, you better give them this, that's what they want. You better decide this that way, that's what the people like to have, you know. We can get a bunch of votes over here, we'll do so and so. Oh, may God raise us up some statesmen, great statesmen, statesmen who are courageous enough to do right. I've known men like that. I've met a few of them along life's way. I remember years ago, I wrote William Jennings Bryan a letter. It was before the New York Convention. I was fixing to go to Europe, getting ready to go, and I expected to spend about 10 or 12 days in New York in that convention. I never shall forget it. It was a very interesting convention, the last one that Bryan ever attended. And before this convention, I wrote him and said, Mr. Bryan, I've been thinking about something that, as I've gone over America, that I believe you could do that would give you control of this convention in New York City. And I think it might be even possible for you to be nominated for the Democratic Party for president. Just one little thing. And it looks to me like you could afford to do it. I was a young man in those days. I hadn't had as much experience as I have now. Well, I won't go into detail, but I had a letter back, Mr. Bryan, written with his own hand. He's passing through a town in Arkansas over the hotel. He said, dear friend, I think the suggestion you make, politically speaking, is a good suggestion. But, he said, I have convictions that would keep me from doing that. I don't blame anybody else that don't agree with me about the convictions. But I just couldn't say that, see, because I have convictions a little different from that. Well, sir, I wanted to go out to that Arkansas town and throw my arms around it. It's refreshing to meet a man like that. He never got to be president, but I observed him through all that convention up in New York and all the turmoil and strife and upheaval. I watched him. You couldn't move him what he thought was right. I remember one time up in a little lawyer's office in a town in Ohio. This lawyer had Bryan's picture up there. And he showed me that picture. And we looked at it just a minute. I said, he's a great man, wasn't he? He said, oh, he was a great man. He said, you know, I'll tell you a story. It's never been published. He said, Mr. Bryan, when he ran for the presidency the first time, told me one day, he said, I think I may have missed it politically. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I had to take a position the other day. It's going to lose me a great many votes. But I had something put up to me that I couldn't do. And I told him I couldn't do it. It isn't right. Men and women, do right. Do right. It's always great to do right. It's always little to do wrong. I often think about Pilate trying to say, well, his blood's not on my hands, it's on your hands. Poor little cheap politician. Do right. Do right. A preacher said to me one time, and I was in a revival in his town, he said, "You know, I can't preach like you preach." I said, "Why?" "Well," he said, "if I preached like that, I'd be out of a job." "Well," I said, "do you mean to tell me you don't say what you ought to say as a minister of the gospel because you're afraid you'll lose a job? Are you that kind of man? In other words, you don't mean to tell me they bribe you to keep your mouth shut. You know, a man can be bribed to keep his mouth shut just as much as he can be bribed to open his mouth and say something. You can bribe a witness not to tell what he ought to tell, just the same way as you can bribe him to tell what he ought not to tell. There's no difference. A man that doesn't say what he ought to say is as much of a traitor to Jesus Christ if he's a preacher as if he said what he ought not to say. If you ought to say it, you ought to say it. If you ought to preach it, you ought to preach it. Now, he might have said, "I haven't your style of preaching. I can't do it just that way. That's not my method of doing it. I have another style." But God Almighty pity a preacher that believes he ought to say something to his people and won't say it. I have no respect for him. Well, you say he'd lose his job. Let him lose his job. I'd rather you lose my job. There's street corners in this country on where men can preach, and you can get a permit from the mayor. There are woods where men can build brush arbors. I want to say this to you, men and women. I've got a lot of faults. And I've stumbled and fallen and done 10,000 things I wish I hadn't done. But if I had to die today, I'd stretch my hands across my breast and tell God Almighty with my dying breath that I never stood in a pulpit anywhere on earth and refused to say what I thought I ought to say. If I was convinced I ought to say it, I say it. I regret the weaknesses and sins and shortcomings of my life. But how anybody, anywhere in the world, public official, minister of the gospel, or anybody anywhere, can refuse to stand up and say what he ought to say, I don't understand it. It's beyond me. Now let's make up our minds, God helping us. Wherever we are, in whatever circle we may move, whatever we may be called to do, let's make up our minds that we're going to do right. Do right if the stars fall out of their silver sockets in the sky. Do right. Do right regardless of what it costs you. God give us grace to do it, and God give us courageous Christian men and women and ministers of the gospel and politicians that'll do right in this time of world crisis and world tragedy. Our Heavenly Father, help each one of us his own place. In the sphere where thou hast put us, help each one of us to look up and tell God we'll do what he wants us to do. We'll trust Jesus Christ, his Son, as our Savior, and we'll be faithful to our trust. Hear us in this prayer and keep us true to thee. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Listen next week at this time for another message from The Word of Truth, sponsored by Bob Jones University.